They're here for the American dream, but they've given us the American nightmare. Our beloved son, Jamil Shah II, was brutally murdered by an illegal alien gangbanger. Our government wants to protect the illegals, but who's going to protect the Americans and the legal immigrants? We are, with Jamil's Law. Log on to jamilslaw.com, JAMIELS Law.com. Together, yes, we can deport illegal alien gangs out of the USA.
Here they come, the legals, they're coming.
That was wrong, what happened to Jamil Shah? How many Americans must fall? You better stand up and heed the call before the same thing happens to one of y'all. That was wrong, what happened to Jamil Shah? How many Americans must fall? You better stand up and heed the call before the same thing happens to one of y'all. My neighborhood is changing, not for the best.
Not for the best.
People looking different, not like the rest.
Not like the rest.
Come in peace. That's what they said.
What they said.
But don't get in their motherfucking way. They're taking LA back, starting with the black.
Starting with the black.
In California, so get back, Jack.
Get back, Jack.
One by one, our men are missing. What's wrong with them? What are they dissing? American citizens, why won't you listen? Black people, are you paying attention to being replaced? Can't you see?
Can't you see?
People around here don't look like me. That was wrong. What happened to?
Yep, welcome to Jamil's Law on Blog Talk Radio. This makes 14 years today. 14 years ago, March the 2nd, a young buck named Jamil Shah II was brutally murdered by an illegal alien piece of shit. Literally, an illegal alien piece of shit. We brought him to this country when his illegal alien ass was 3 years old. So next time someone say, well, they was just the kids, can you just, it's just the babies, tell them to kiss your blickety black ass. You know, let's go Brandon. Tell them to kiss your ass, because those 3 years, can you imagine, just on my end, when my son was 1 year old, this illegal alien piece of shit was three. So you can imagine two innocent kids. I wouldn't even talk this way about that illegal alien piece of shit if I didn't, if he wouldn't did what he did, because what do I give a damn about a three-year-old child? Why would I feel threatened by a three-year-old child? See, when people say, it's all about the kids, and oh, it's just the kids, and take care of the kids. You know, just back up to what I was talking about. When this illegal alien piece of shit was 3 years old, that's when he came into this country, illegal. With his illegal alien, mama and daddy, and all the rest of the illegal aliens. They all came together. And at that particular moment when he was coming to this country, my son was just 1 year old. So just imagine that, 1 year old. So when people say, oh, it's just the kids, you know, why would I feel threatened about a three-year-old child? But just out of all the illegal alien kids that grew up in the United States, the one that I'm talking about, it just shows, this is just like the average on most of them. They don't give a shit about America, because when he was 3 years old, why, he didn't grow up normal like everybody else. And it's one of those things where, frankly, my dear, I don't even give a damn at this point. But that's why I don't give a damn when people say the kids, when I watch the news, I see illegal aliens and the mamas and the kids, and they just say, oh, they have kids, so that's automatic, you know, like a get-out-of-jail-free card, or, you know, you're getting free to Disneyland because you have kids. And the men get out of here, even though we see the men here, too. The men here, too. This damn country so full of damn illegal aliens. And when people start, when their bodies start piling up, I don't want to hear shit, because I'm not saying I'm not going to care. I'll care about the victim. But when the family start talking, hey, and crying, they want somebody to give a damn, I'm like, man, where were you when you were, you probably one of those people that was, screw you guys, you're white supremacists. Every time I watch the news, all I hear is that I'm a white supremacist. They ignore every nationality, every race, anybody that's a Republican. If you're not white, they don't even see you. They ignore you. That's why they always say they always use Republicans or white supremacists, Aryan Nation, everybody's Boogaloo Boy and the Proud Boys, and we're all in the Ku Klux Klan. But then you see all these black people and all these Latinos and Asians and Jewish people and Mexicans. I mean, you just all these different nationalities. I'm trying to say, you know. But they ignore all that because that is for the narrative. But when this bastard came into the country at 3 years old, my son was just one. So you can imagine, two innocent kids. Nobody done nothing to each other. They're just kids. I don't blame the legal alien piece of shit when he was 3 years old. At that time, and my son was one, I didn't even know the bastard, you know. So I didn't care about him being 3 years old. I didn't know he was even in the country or not. I knew nothing about it. But he was here, you know. So people thinking we're safe because they're just kids. What about when they grow up? You can imagine when he was three and my son was one. Then my son was three and he was five. Probably was still, I bet you look back on it, he was bad as hell at five. Because according to the transcript, not the transcript, according to the trial, because I was there, there was a lady that came in there. I don't know that lady from the Man in the Moon. But I guess the prosecution team did. And they knew about her. Well, she came forward. I don't know how she came in contact with the attorneys because she knew this little boy, well, this piece of shit, when he was 19, but she knew him when he was 10. Because according to her, she came to court and said when he was 10 years old, he was so bad at 10. He was doing so much stuff in this apartment building. And from how the apartment manager, it might be the owner, but I think it was the apartment manager, just by how she was acting, you know, she liked the clean building, and she probably was, you know, made it really nice for everybody to live there. And it was, you know, in her mind, she wanted to be nice for all her tenants and everything. So she knew she was talking about. She said that he was so bad at 10 years old that she had a petition. They took it around to all the people that lived in the building to get that family kicked out of that building from what he was doing at 10 years old. So you can imagine, when he was 10, he was already that bad to the point where people wanted him out the damn building at 10 years old, you know. So I blame the mom and the daddy. At that point, see, I didn't even know about none of that shit. But at that point, the mom and daddy, I don't give a damn about them. If I knew where they was at, I'd hunt them down and make their life miserable. I wouldn't kill nobody, but I make sure everybody know, and like they do us, as soon as they don't like what we're doing, they go find our bosses and try to get us fired. And if you was a sponsor, get your sponsors taken away, and they make your life miserable because you don't believe in illegal immigration or LGBT or Satanism or whatever. Whatever they do, they only need one person. Here you are, millions of people, but they just get one person and say, oh, I don't like Christmas tree. All of my Christmas tree down. For just one loony bastard. They're not even worth it, you know. They have like one person, oh, it makes the world go round. Hey, I went down to the court system and tried to sue. I've been hearing all these people on TV talking about they suing this and suing that. Can't nobody sue shit. I know all that. Every time somebody says they're going to sue, they'll never call me. I'm the only person around here that got a legal alien gangbanger on death row in San Quentin. Now, I don't give a damn if the Newsom and Gascon for now going to do all that shit. We still had a victory. Now, if his ass get out, we don't need death penalty. Because I'd be damned. I don't care about all the other people who let these guys get out and they don't do nothing. I'd be damned if the bastard gets out and he think he's going to live around here, live in the city, live in the state. He's not allowed to live. Yeah, I guess I ain't allowed to live either because I guess it's just time for me to go. Because I would feel like the worst man in the world, the worst dad, the worst person, if I allowed him to do what he did to my son and then get out of prison and then just enjoy a good life like he in Disneyland. He ain't got to worry about nothing because in his mind, I paid my debt to society. Well, that's in your mind. In my mind, you ain't pay shit. That's like I was telling these guys when I was in that juvenile prison. When this lady I met that day in prison, I met her, and she was speaking. We were three of us, me and two women. One of the women, you know, the other woman, I don't know what the hell she was talking about, to be truthful, because I don't even remember. So I guess she was probably the loon in the group, because I don't even remember what she was talking about. At that particular moment, I don't know how my frame of mind was, but I was pissed. So, of course, I was, you know, even though at that particular moment, people still thought I was a liberal. And once, you know, eventually everybody realized I wasn't. But at that time, I think they still thought I was, you know. So, but I wasn't. But one of the ladies in there must have been, because I don't even remember what she was talking about, the whole speech. But I remember the other lady, she was a white lady. I mean, what she's talking about, because I'm not saying she was conservative, but whatever she was talking about, it had something that I never forgot it. And she was talking about how she had got raped one day. She was on her way home from work at the bus stop, and these gang of Mexicans. Well, you know what? She didn't call them Mexicans. She just said Latino. So that could be, I just assumed there was Mexicans, because that's where I got into race at, so to speak. So she said they took her to the house for like 2 or 3 days, and everybody, like a gang house, they just raped her and raped her and raped her until they was through with her and threw her on the sidewalk, and, you know, and she wasn't even talking about what it was. And while she was talking about it, you know, people were laughing. Nobody was, yeah, but they're right there, like they didn't even give a damn. You know, they was laughing and talking, and she was just trying to tell her story. And, you know, her hair was all messed up her marriage, she had kids, and she was never the same, right? But anyway, when I stood up, I said, hey, it was like 600 people in there, right? All, I don't think nobody was over 19, I think everybody was 18, but they all was in there for some violent ass stuff, right? And so I said, hey, raise your hand if you think it's okay for somebody to rape your mother. Nobody got quiet, isn't it? It was. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Raise your hand if you think it's okay for somebody to rape your mother. And nobody said nothing. Not one hand came up. I said, raise your hand if you think it's okay to rape your wife or your sister or your auntie or your cousin or your coworker, your female coworker. Raise your hand. Nobody. And I said, you know what? That's crazy. Because I heard half y'all in here for rape. You know? So that means you done raped somebody's mother. You done raped somebody's sister. You probably raped somebody's grandmother, somebody's auntie, somebody's female co-worker. It was quiet. Nobody saying shit. And then I told my story to my son, you know. And when it was over, people were coming up to me saying, I remember a lot of people coming up to me, but this one black young kid looked like he was about 15, 16. And he said, you know what? He was crying. He said, I ain't never thought about it like that, you know. He said, I'm gonna tell you straight. I was just trying to get some pussy. Just how he said it, you know. He wasn't saying I didn't do it. He knew he did what he did, and he wasn't trying to hide it. So it was obvious he must have confessed to something, because he didn't say, hey, I'm framed, whatever. He just said, I didn't even thought about it like that. He said, I just thought I was getting some pussy. He said, I'm not gonna never do that again. He said, when I get out, I might have never see you again, but you always remember. I said, I was gonna never. He said, if you ever run into me on the streets, you're gonna find out I never did that again. He said, because I never thought about I raped somebody's mother. You know, that was somebody's mother. He said, he could imagine somebody raping his mother. And I said, and when I said that to the people, I said, hey, and you know, a lot of you guys thinking one day you're going to get out. I heard a lot of y'all going from here to the big house where the big boys at, you know. I said, but some of y'all going to get out of here, and they're going to try to make you, you know, have another good, you're going to have, you know, like a rehabilitation thing, and they're going to try to save you, you know. And I said, but you got to understand, some of the people that's outside, that's their mamas and their daddies, and they, y'all done hurt family members in there, you know. So some of those people, they know when you're getting out. They done already checked. They interactive, you know. I mean, they know everything what you're doing up in here. They know when you're getting out, what you done did while you in here, and they know who you, all your family members. They know all that because that's how they are. And when you get out, they're going to get you. I said, some of y'all are going to get got by women, old people, little youngsters that you done hurt their family, and they done be waiting for you. You know, so always remember that. If you ain't just hurting one person, you might kill that person. Now you got everybody after you. You know, because like I said, when that bastard was 10 years old, my son was just eight. He was 8 years old. He was playing football and Little League. We were doing all kind of stuff. At 8 years old, man, please. He was a full force. He was a full athlete at that moment. 8 years old, we've been doing that stuff for 8 years, damn near, you know. One time he got 5 years old, he already was playing. He already knew sport. We already knew who he was going to be. I remember watching him run down the court in a Little League basketball game. Everybody was 5 years old. And he was just like, oh, my God. Everybody in there knew, like, wow, this little kid right here is awesome, you know. But I didn't, you know. We stayed humble. I always made sure he stayed humble. But I knew my thing was, oh, my God, I'm scared because I have bad luck when it comes to, you know, good stuff happening. So I just figured, oh, you know, we knew it was going to happen as he got older. So you can imagine when this guy was 10, getting put out of apartment buildings. He probably was terrorized later. He was drinking and painting all over the tagging up a building, him and his friends hanging out, smoking weed, just doing all kinds of stuff, terrorizing at 10. You know, and then at 10, my son, we were like 8 years old. Man, I was coaching back 2 basketball seasons a year, winter and summer league, 2 baseball seasons, summer and winter league, you know, a flag football season, and everything else in between. We was all into the park league. We was there. Everybody knew me. I knew everybody. Everybody's kids was there every year. Everybody was growing up together, and we knew this group of kids right here, we trying to be something. They trying to do something with their lives. And their parents, you know, all the parents and the mamas and the daddies and, you know, just mostly mothers, you know, very few daddies. I had to beat the women off me because it was just so many women. And they think, oh, my God, I want what you got. Can you take care of my kids? They thought I was just father knows best. And here my son got knocked off, just shocked everybody. Everybody was like, what the hell? Not his son. All the work he was doing. There's people who I never seen since those days. I'll see them one day since my son been dead, like 10 years. I'll see them on the street somewhere. They'd be like, oh, man, I ain't seen you since Little League. And you remember this? I remember that? I'm like, yeah. It was like, damn. How your son? How he's married? His family? I'll be thinking, damn. Everybody got families and the kids and grew up and they didn't went through their sports seasons and went to schools and now they're adults and got families and they're just living their life. I'm thinking, damn, that's jacked up. Why we couldn't have that? What was so special about us that we had to be one of those people? That's not even fair, but like they say, nothing is fair. I guess it ain't supposed to be. I don't know. But anyway, you just imagine. At 8 years old, my son playing football, basketball, everything. We just having fun as a family, you know. Everything is cool, you know. His mother's in the army, you know. At 8 years old, you know, he'd been to Germany. He lived in Germany for a year. He was doing all kind of stuff, you know. It was just awesome. We was having so much fun, but nobody was really thinking about having fun. It was just part of, you know, you just mamas and daddies and kids. Nobody thinking about death. See, we're talking about it now because it happened. But when you're living that life, I wasn't thinking about that. I mean, you know, you worry for your kids, gonna make them safe. But I wasn't acting like I am now. That's why that's how I tell people all the time, you get a DNA change because there's no way the way I used to be and the way I am now. That's 2 different people. Even I know that. People who know me back when I grew up until my son being murdered, and then they see who I am after that. They always know, man, he wasn't like that. Everything is different. They see me on TV, it was like, wow. Then they're hearing about it, and they remember me growing up and everything. Now they see me on TV hanging out with Donald Trump and all that. That's a DNA change, because I would have never did that. My brain wouldn't be so pissed off. I wouldn't be consumed with grief and all that stuff, you know. That's just I always wonder why everybody can get none of that. Now, I don't want nobody to get none. But why can some people get it, and then you get some people live their whole life, and nothing ever happens? Everybody sort of grows old and just pass away, and it's you know, you're sad and everything, but they didn't fall out of the airplane or get shot to death or fall in the bathtub, hit their head, or overdose on, you know, drugs. They just got old and, you know, died, you know, the process, but nobody was in shock, nobody in grief. And there's people who don't know what grief feels like, and they went through their whole life, you know, and their kids' lives, and everybody was old, and grandma died, but nobody died before her. You know, everybody, so it was like grief-free. That is awesome. Especially somebody talking like to me, because it's like, damn, I'm on, today is the day. My son was murdered today. 14 years ago. It don't even feel real. It's like, yeah, you know, you're still dreaming. You know, it's dark. I'm not going to do it to show. I'm going to put some candles out there. We should have candlelight vigils and all that. But yeah, that shit is wackety-wickety-wack. I mean, it's nice, but it's not real because nobody can keep that up unless you're inside your family. People always, my son, my other son, he always tells me, yeah, a lot of his friends, you know, they do the Facebook and the different and Instagrams and all that stuff. You know, they remember and everything. But that ain't the same. It ain't the same when it first happens and everybody gives a damn. And then get to the point, nobody cares. But you know, people probably care, but you know, it's not grief. It's not designed for non-grieving people. That's why I don't get upset at people. You know, it hurts my feelings inside, but I try to keep it out. Every now and then I might lash out at somebody that should be doing more because they was, you know, a little bit more intimate relationship. So it's like, I can't believe you ain't said nothing, ain't did nothing. No, you don't even give a damn. And they might really care. I do this every now and then, call people out. I lost a lot of friends that pissed me off and didn't do what they should have did considering how close we were, how you knew my son, and now he gets murdered by a Mexican. And just because you got a Mexican wife, it's like you can't, come on now, that's not even real. You know, but people do that. I mean, it's, you know, it's not grieving. It's not designed for non-grieving people because they don't know what it feels like. When people ask me, well, nobody really asks me what it feels like, but when you talk about what it feels like, you can never, I don't think there's one person that could say, oh, well, it feels like, because you can't think of nothing that it feels like. Because you really can't tell what it's like because it's not nothing physical, you know what I mean? It's physical, the outwardly part is physical from the reactionary part. It's like being electrocuted, and then you see what happens when you're electrocuted, how the person's body reacts. It's like that, you know? So I know how grief works because I know how I feel. Just when I think about certain things, I can feel my heart and my blood, and you can tell you're breathing. You can feel all that stuff happen when you're really into that, when you're just sitting around thinking about it. But when you're around a lot of people, you don't notice it as much. But when you're sitting around yourself, and you're just all of a sudden you think about something, and then you're like, damn, you feel your heart beating different. You can feel your blood pressure. Your body gets warmer. You know, you can just, woo. It's like, damn, you know, sometimes it's really bad to where it's like, oh, man, it's just, woo, it's vicious. That's why I don't really blame people, don't know what it's like. Even if it's somebody in your immediate family, you get mad at them because it depends why. If they don't like you because you're a Republican, that's different. But if it's just because they don't know no better, you know, they don't know no better. Some people think if you bring it up, that's bad. But some people want you to bring it up or say, hey, I was thinking about your son. That makes you think, oh, they care. Some people know, I don't want to hear about it. Don't talk about it. See, I'm not like that. You know, like some people will remove the house and anything that reminds you of that person. You know, some people's like still got the same thing they had way back in the day. It's just too many variables. So who can go there? Like, do what you do. People say, people are grieving their own way. Nah, you don't really grieve your own way. You're either grieving or you're not. You know what I mean? You're either grieving or you're not. See, the grieving in your own way, that's for the people who are not grieving. So you can't really say, oh, you don't even care. Look at you don't even grieving. See, that's why they put, you know, people grieve in their own way. Because when people will be grieving, everybody know how that is. So, you know, so there's no explanation about, hey, they grieving. But when people not grieving properly, it don't look right. You're like, hey, that's not how to grieve. And it's not. Because either you're grieving, if you're grieving, you look like that. It's like putting 20 crackheads in the same room. I guarantee you, all the crackheads are going to look like they're on crack because they all got the same drugs, same symptoms, the same problems. You get everybody, you put everybody in the room with 20 people in the room with heart attack, with heart problems, and you just look at them, they all going to look, something about them that's, you know, similar, like Down syndrome or whatever. And it's the same way with grieving. If you put 10 people in a room and everybody's in their room, kids was murdered, shot to death, cheated. Everybody in there looks like, you might not notice it. I guarantee you I will. I guarantee they will. They be looking like, oh, yeah, everybody in here, they got to look. They got to look. And you would notice it, too, if you're sitting in there. If you were sitting in a room full of people, everybody there was kids were shot to death, except for you, cheated. You'd be feeling like, what the fuck is going on in here? You'd be all, you could feel the energy, you know? I've been to a meeting one time, and everybody in there, it was mothers. Everybody's kids was dead. I was like, ooh, vicious. Everybody, not one daddy in there but me. Everybody's mother, everybody's telling their story. Oh, my God, just vicious, you know, all different ways. These people just murdered. Everybody dead, you know? And this one lady did to her. She said, I ain't never had nobody in my family get murdered or nothing like that. I'm here because I want to help. Hopefully, it won't happen. See, when she left that room, I guarantee you, she probably was a grief expert. And she was like, I don't want that. I tell people all the time, you don't want to know. You know, you really seriously don't want to know. Because when you know how it really, truly is, that means somebody did. You know, somebody dead. So you can't really expect for people to react the same way, except for crazy people. Like if you remember that one movie with Mel Gibson, I got the name of it. I think someone reminded me of it last time when I tried to bring it up. And Mel Gibson's daughter had got exposed to some chemicals, you know, and everybody died. His daughter got shot to death, right? And he was talking to her boss, and her boss was so wanted to know, what does it feel like? It's like he was like, wanted to go in the bathroom and rock himself, so to speak. He was, he asked Mel Gibson, hey, what does it feel like? You know, yeah, I think I'm not sure what Mel Gibson said. I think he just looked at him like, you crazy, that's so big, and walked away. Because you can't really explain what it feels like. It ain't that. You grieving? Or you not. Ain't no grieving your own way. If you find somebody who people like, this is how you look at it. When you're grieving, you got a left and a right. It ain't no liberal or conservative. You got a left and a right. On the left side, you get people who are consumed with forgiveness and they want to forgive everything and everybody for whatever the million reasons they could have for why. It's just how it is on that side of the grief spectrum. Everybody on that side, I forgive you and I love you, and they want to hug the damn prisoner and they want to talk to the person and help them have a better life. You keep going to the left, to the left, to the left. Those are the ones that commit suicide because they're so grief-stricken and everything. They get to a point where they realize it shouldn't do no good. Now they just out there by themselves in loon land because their brain is gone. They don't forgive everybody. They don't know what they mad about no more because they don't forgive everything. And they thought it was going to give them closure, but it's not. And now they just sitting in their own self and they start drinking and doing drugs because their brain is like high-definition television. It's like showing you everything that you thought it was cool. Now you end up getting to the point where you're destructive and you end up dying or killing yourself. Then you get the people on the right, the pissed off people. See, that's where I'm at. How far to go to the right, who knows? All I know is that I'm on that side. The people on the right, they want justice. They want somebody to go to jail. They want the death penalty. They want revenge. I wouldn't hug your ass if you paid me. I wish your mama, your daddy, everybody, you pissed off. Those are the ones that keep going to the right, keep going. They'll end up killing somebody. Because they get so pissed off, and they ain't trying to forgive nobody, so they ain't thinking about killing themselves. No, they want to inflict pain upon someone else. So that's how it goes. So people say, you're grieving your own way. They ain't grieving your own way. You're either in that spectrum. You're grieving to the left or the right. You watch TV, remember that guy in the church that killed the black people. He was given in for Bible study. He's in there for Bible study. Everybody had their head down praying. He pulled his gun out by shooting everybody. He was even at his arraignment. At the arraignment, some lady, I just wanted to tell you that I forgive you and I love you. See, that's a left-sided grieving. You got some people, you go to see them in their arraignment. They, before you know it, they're in a damn courtroom, lounging at the damn, just watch the court TV shows. People pissed off, they come to court, and they ain't trying to kill somebody while they're there. They don't give a damn about going to jail. They way past the mental capacity to be thinking about that. See, nobody talks about that stuff. That's why when you hear about all these killings going on in the streets, it's not just gangs killing gang members. You got revenge going on out there. You got people getting shot to death and people hearing about somebody was involved in it here or there. You got kids being dead and somebody found out who did it or somebody who knows something or you don't want them to say nothing or you do want them to say something. You got mamas and daddies that done found out about stuff. You just, hey, you ain't, all you got to do is go to court. Just go downtown L.A. and sit in the courtroom and you hear all kind of shit. You can go to a arraignment hearing and just sit in the arraignment room and listen to all the cases, and you see, ooh, I'm going to go to that one. Half of them in there for murder, you know, but they don't give a damn because the half of them in there for murder, I mean half of them not. Can you imagine somebody killing your kids and they still out? They didn't got out because nobody gives a damn about your kids, you know. Nobody cares. Murder is not the same anymore. See, there used to be a time that when you would kill somebody, that means everything over, you know, no matter what. No matter what, everything over. But then just imagine, okay, just say you had a merry-go-round. And the merry-go-round having a good old time, and then the merry-go-round breaks free, and somebody falls off and dies. They used to close that shit down back in the day. You know, that's that. No more merry-go-round. Or somebody has a game, everybody's playing, somebody falls, gets hurt, you know, somebody dies. Oh, that's it. You'd never see it again. But now the tolerance is different. It doesn't matter if you die no more. You're going to die anyway. A guy told me that one day, and that's when I realized that's how people think. I was in Santa Barbara at a rally. And the rally was on Martin Luther King's birthday. And it was a San Bernardino newspaper was under fire for something, you know, and people were picking it. You know, a lot of Latinos were picking it. So they asked me, would I come? I drove all the way to Santa Barbara by myself, and it was on the whole day. I mean, just face to face, everybody cussing each other out and just crazy. Everybody got their signs. So the side that I was on, I was standing by the fence. Police was there, so as long as you didn't touch nobody, you could stand face to face. They didn't care. So I was standing there talking to a guy, and he wanted to talk to the white people. He came for the white people. He didn't give a damn about me. He here for the white people. Hey, Julie, I see you on there. Hello. And so I'm talking to him. I said, man, I'm telling him what's going on. He was so tired of me talking. He said, man, he's going to die anyway. The police are going to kill him one day anyway. So that means, leave me alone. I got nothing to talk about. Like, your son being dead, I don't give a damn. That's why when you see me on TV, I don't be giving a damn about, because my thing is, I want them to know what it feels like. See? So, especially it really hurts for somebody. You could imagine, like, I saw a lady on TV, and I heard about two of them. Her daughter was murdered. She was just 16 years old. They found her on the off-ramp of the 110 freeway in Manchester. Rock gut. Where that on-ramp, I've been up and down that off-ramp, on off-ramps many times getting on the freeway, and that is the most rock gut area to get on the freeway. If you ever on the 110 freeway and your car break down and you about to get up on Manchester, do not do it unless you're crazy. If you break down around there in the middle of the night, you in trouble. Those homeless people and gangs, and it'd be like a damn sharks in the water. It'd be like, you know, you got a cut on your leg and you're in a shark pool. They will find you like infrared beams, And anyway, the girl, 16-year-old girl, laid out on the on-ramp, on the off-ramp. Just threw out the car from what they said. The car was still moving. They didn't even stop, put her out, and then keep going. They just, as the car was rolling, they threw her out the car, right? After she was dead, somebody shot her. They say shot her in the neck, you know. She only 16 years old, right? So the mother pissed. The mother on the news. First thing the mother said crying is that, I voted for you guys. I voted for you. She's talking to Biden and everybody do something about this craziness right here. I voted for you, you know. But her whole thing was, you guys don't even care. You don't even care. And I voted for you. I thought you were, and I just said, you know what? I bet you $100 that lady probably heard about me and didn't give a damn because I'm being used by the white man and I'm trying to blah, 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 blah. And I bet she was against Trump. I bet she thought Trump was a racist and the Democrats was the only way to go and you guys are crazy. And now her daughter dead and none of the Democrats give a damn. You know? And she just wants somebody to give a damn. She on Fox News trying to get somebody to care. See, because nobody care around here. I look in the newspaper. They don't even talk about it. The first thing they did when they found out the girl was dead and they knew it was going to cause a ruckus is they said, she was a prostitute. We got to stop sexual trafficking. And then the story went away. Second time it happened, another lady got killed. They found her in the bag. Just yesterday, they found a lady on fire. Some guy trying to put the fire out. He's in a shopping cart. He was like, what the hell, shopping cart on fire? He goes, shopping cart, it's a lady. In the shopping cart, on fire. He tried to put the fire out. Of course, the lady dead. They see a guy riding around a bicycle. They do this stuff all the time. People think it's MS-13. It could be, but people think it's like some third world country stuff. No, they do that here. You know how many bodies they done found up in the Hollywood Hills, Griffith Park, and all those trails? You go through, you look on the internet and look up all the trails that you would think people just go hiking, having a good time, and you put in there bodies found on hiking trails. You would be shocked to find out how many bodies and pieces of bodies they find all over the mountains. Nobody know nothing. Nobody gives a damn. People have been missing 10, 15, 20 years. You know, often they find bones and stuff in the Hollywood Hills. They're like, oh, yeah, here it is. Nobody cared. Nobody even looked for the person that did it. Then when they do find out the person dead, nobody won't say who did it, how they did it, put out a bulletin so we can look out for it. They don't even care. You got to make them care. That's why you got to make sure everybody stay alive. Because if somebody die in this era, nobody's going to give a damn. They ain't going to look for the body. You see how Biden left everybody in Ukraine, left everybody in Afghanistan. Don't even talk about it no more. Screw him. He done moved on. He don't care anyway. He can't remember. But still, they did it. There's people whose brains work really good. They don't even give a damn. Everybody, oh, we gone, blah, blah, blah. Same way. Oh, look at all the people that got killed by illegal aliens. And hear Joe Biden yesterday talking about illegal aliens giving them everything. Like they deserve something. They ain't did shit. And they just automatically deserve everything because they came over the border, so we got to give them everything. They don't give us everything, but they get everything. Why? They vote. It ain't just votes. They hate this place. And they know they're going to die one day, so they know they only got so much time to fuck it up. That's a trip. You only got so much time to fuck it up. And fuck it up, they do. There ain't no way around it. But back to what I was saying about the piece of shit that murdered my son. Today is March the 2nd. My son was brutally murdered March the 2nd, 2008. Coming home from the damn mall. Can you imagine you're a dad, a mom, or whatever, and you hear gunshots on your street, you're thinking, damn. And you go outside and you see a child laying down the street dead. Everything changes. It changes so drastically, you don't even remember how you used to be because you don't remember no more. Because it's not like you can say, well, I used to, and I remember I used to. You just don't think about it. You don't do it. You do what you do now. Just what your brain is saying, do this, do that, whatever. You don't think about how you used to be, how you used to act, how you used to think, things you used to do. You don't think about it because you don't know it even happened. It's not like something that you lost, you know? It's not like something that you say, well, I remember I used to, and then my son died, I don't do that no more. You don't think like that because you don't know about that no more. Because when your DNA changes, it's not like it's not like you can get it back no more, you know, because what made everything like it was that person being here. So now that person is not here, there's no way you can never get it back. So actually everything changed at that moment. But it changes more drastically than just that person being gone. That's just the effect. Like you said, the cause and effect. That's the cause. The person died and everything happened because of that. But when you look at it in physical terms, it's like everything changed when that person died. Yeah, it didn't change. It's ceased to exist. It's gone. And it's not like you say you lost it. It's not like that. You just know how old you are today. Like I always remember when it first happened, you can see the seconds. Just when, I mean, I ask everybody about this, and every single person that I talk to said the same thing. They say it a little differently, or, you know, the event might be a little different, but it's the same thing of the person being moving one direction and you going the other way. And you're like, what the? You're trying to, you know, and before you know it, they got out of sight and you're still moving because you're going two different directions. You're moving forward and they're moving backwards, even though they're staying the same. It doesn't feel like that because for instance, when my son was murdered, so you sometimes you can't explain it. You just tell what happened and then the people interpret it how they want to. When my son was murdered, I remember him laying in the street and I was down there trying to get to him. The police were holding me. I'm trying to get to the boy because I'm trying to, I don't know what I was trying to do, but I wanted to touch him and do something, right? And they were holding me and stuff. And also I remember I was gone. I was up in the sky looking down on everything, weird as hell. But it happened. You know, looking, and all of a sudden, just as fast as it went up, all of a sudden, it went right back and it was like, it's not like you missed a beat. It was just, everything was happening again, you know. And I remember, I call it it reminds me of the escalator at the airport, not the one that goes up and down, the one that goes straight. If you have been on one of the escalators where you just stand there and the escalator just goes straight, like, and it just takes, you know, just takes you down the hall, long hallway, whatever. So I was on. It reminded me of that. It didn't look like it because you couldn't see nothing, but it just reminded me of that. But the weird part was that as I was moving forward, because I'm still going, you know, into the future, 1001, 1002, you know, and immediately when I saw him, you could hear the clock. You could see the clock. It was weird as hell, but everybody said the same thing. You can see a clock that lets you know your new life has started. You're seeing 1 second, 2 seconds. But as you're seeing this clock, the person that you loved, and I'm not 100% sure because I guess the brain didn't focus on that. I couldn't tell whether he's standing up in a good mood or was he laying there on the ground dead. But it was just his presence almost was just going out of sight because I was going to the future, one, you know. So I remember seeing 1 minute, 2 minutes, seconds. And before you know it, it was just getting farther away. And then once you realized it was getting farther away, you were trying to get it back, and you couldn't walk forward. For some reason, everything was just going farther and farther away and farther and farther away and farther to the point where it was gone. Weird as hell, so sad. It was gone. He was like, damn. And you eventually turned around and went on whatever we were supposed to be doing because it was gone. It was looking back. It was looking back. Nothing. Nothing. And it never got better. Now it's like 14 years for me. This lady that I met years ago, when she told me she was 16 years. I was still on my first year. It was only 8 months. I remember she asked me, I said, it's been 8 months. It was like, oh, my God, it's so raw. You know, she said, I said, what about you? She said, my son was murdered 16 years ago. And that was 14 years ago when she said that. You know? So that's 30. That lady's son been dead 30 years. Just imagine if she's still alive. I don't know because, you know, people move on and get old and they just don't get out no more or they even greet themselves to death. And after a while you realize, nobody give a shit. And then you just keep it to yourself and just grieve internally. Nobody really cares, you know. People only care about new deaths, you know. You don't see nobody on Fox News no more because they didn't hear all the new deaths and everybody who was making Fox News with their kids being murdered and the fights against illegal immigration, they didn't phase everybody out. See, I knew once Disney got into it, I knew that was it because Disney wants to be this all-American. So you notice how if you look at Fox and Friends now, they don't have no illegal alien talk no more. They'll bring up the border, stuff like that, but they don't bring on families no more that was murdered by illegal aliens. You know, Disney don't want that. You know, the early Fox and Friends tried to do it, but it's so early that most people don't do it or, you know, they have it every now and then. They tried to get me on there once, but they couldn't get the Skype to work right. But they don't care. Local news, you ain't gonna never see that again. That's over forever. So it's just over. So after a while, you just, I know a lot of families used to call me and say, or they'll see me somewhere and say, hey, this is just for us. You know, we're just too old and retired and you ain't doing no good anyway. We done fought this for 25 years. And I remember this lady, we shook hands. And one lady was saying, we're broke now, have no more money. You know, people they couldn't make no more money. The kids did, and they spent up all their money. And we hugged and never seen them again. People just fall away. But the liberals, it stressed me out, every liberal that had their kids dead, if they really wanted justice and they really wanted attention, they all hang around Republicans because liberals don't care. I met so many people who were Democrats, but their kids got killed, and they want somebody to give a damn. So they start going to Republican meetings when the people who have kids or family members murdered was doing something, even though they were liberal as hell, and they used to go, but they didn't really fit in. It's like you're Asian speaking. It's like you're American. You don't know no foreign language, and you go to an Asian church, and they speak in full Korean. You know, or full Chinese and full Japanese, but you don't understand nothing, not even one little word, you know. That's how it is. But you do what you got to do, which is nothing. Because no matter what you're doing, it doesn't mean shit. You can bust your ass all day, go to every rally, pass out flyers, get petitions, do everything. Soon you come home and be like, hey, wasn't shit. It's just how it is. You just do it because you think it means something, and then at the end of the day, you realize it don't. And you look at everybody who was trying to do things, and they did, or, you know, they moved on, or, you know, they retired, and you just realize, you just say, wow, that didn't mean shit. Everybody's just doing stuff just in the meantime before the Grim Reaper. It's something to do, which is better than doing nothing, waiting for the Grim Reaper, you know. But nothing really matters. You know, it's all personal. You know, the other day, Nancy Pelosi gave out a statue for this guy named Pierre Lafont. Okay, Pierre L. Fonte or something. I don't know how it's pronounced. And she was telling me he's a great American hero and all this bullshit. Now, she hated Washington and everybody that was around in those days. So that's how the liberals do when they can't. They want the holiday or they want the benefit, but they don't like the person. So they give it to some subservient person that worked for them, you know. It's like with the slaves when the Democrats decided they didn't like the way the slaves were freed with Lincoln and a Republican Congress or Senate, they change the narrative, you know. They changed it to when they made everybody think they were bad people and they were all racist and everything like that. So they had to change the narrative because they wanted to get credit for it. So they made everybody think those people were bad. So they couldn't like Lincoln no more because Lincoln was a Republican. So they couldn't give them credit for freeing the slaves, even though everybody and mama know Lincoln freed the slaves. But they don't never give it that. But they took away his holiday and Washington's holiday, and they made it President's Day. So the future presidents, for them, really, it ain't even for the older ones no more, because Lincoln had a holiday and in Washington. He took them both away, right? So they don't like those guys. So they didn't like Lincoln, so they couldn't put Lincoln on the pedestal. So then they didn't like the Senate help. You know, Lincoln had to get Republicans to vote on freeing the slaves, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation and the 14th Amendment and all that stuff. He had to get the people together to support him, and he did it, and it worked. So they couldn't give those guys no credit because they're a bunch of Republican white men. So they couldn't give them no credit. So then they said, okay, what about the Emancipation Proclamation? It's just a document. It's just a document. Let's take that document and hold it up and let that document be the, you know, to get all the glory for freeing the slaves. But they couldn't because it was done by Republicans. So they had to squash that. So what they ended up doing, in the 80s, they came up with Juneteenth. Now, people think Juneteenth came during the slave days. My son is 23. He thought, and he might still do, because sometimes he's like, you don't know everything, Dad. So he won't go check. He'll just think I'm full of shit because he know I'm hardcore conservative, and he's not. So he just says, oh, he's full of shit, and he just believes he want to believe. But he thinks Juneteenth was something that happened when the slaves, it was a slave thing. No, what happened was they found a general, and they made Juneteenth hook to this general, even though they had the Emancipation Proclamation. They had the Republican senators that did that in the 14th Amendment, and they had the President of the United States who all helped freed the slaves. So they couldn't use none of that. So what they did is they found a general, and that general was credited as fighting the last slave and let the last slave know that you're free. And he did that on June the 19th. That's why they go Juneteenth, you know. So June the 19th was the day that general, if you look it all up, I know what I'm talking about because it pissed me off, so I did massive research on it. That general, can't remember his name right this second, so the massive part is a lie. I forgot his name. But anyway, I'll figure it out in a second. But anyway, that general, so they gave him that day. So people want to make Juneteenth some special day, which was full of shit. Bill Clinton was the one that did that. Now, how in the hell is Bill Clinton going to make June 19th when he was in the 80s? And people think June 19th was back when Harriet Tubman and all them was Kunta Kinte and all that shit, Aunt Kizzy, Chicken George. No, that didn't happen until the 80s because most slaves did not give a damn about Juneteenth. They heard about it, but they heard the slaves was free before then. So I'm sure everybody wasn't sitting around with them just waiting to find out the last slave has found out that he's free, and everybody just rejoiced in the last day. Man, that was like 2 years later. The slave was free. 2 years later, the last person found out because this general said it, because they needed, you know, and when he did it, it probably was no big deal. When he did it, he said, hey, last slave was free, okay, you can go back home now. And I'm sure they had no parade, it wasn't no big signing, it wasn't no dedication, it was just something that happened. I mean, we're talking about slaves, so you know damn well the whole country wasn't excited about slaves. So who gave a damn that the last slave found out? They probably thought he was crazy. How in the hell you locked him up for 2 years? The hell was you doing on the plantation? If you can't read, you should have heard. You know, all the slaves walking around leaving. Where the hell you? Where are the slaves going? We free. In where? Get your ass out of there. But anyway, they did the same thing with the slaves. You know, it was something else they did, but yeah, that was one example of how they manipulate people, and they can't give you the holidays. That's why Lincoln and George Washington's birthdays had to be getting rid of. you know, because we can't have a holiday for Lincoln. People are going to ask, why we have a holiday for Lincoln? And he had to tell them. They're like, why we have a holiday for George Washington? You got to tell them. They don't want anybody to know that. They want to say, oh, they all were slave owners and all that bullshit, right? So Nancy Pelosi came up with, on the last day of Black history, she came up with, she brought a statue out. And you know, nobody, when I tweeted that out, they shadow banned me. So only one person saw, I think like 36 impressions and maybe one retweet and one profile click. That means it was shadow banned. Okay, because I tweeted to Nancy Pelosi in 1791, Pierre Lafont, he was the one that Nancy Pelosi was saying he built Washington and he gets credit. He was just a goddamn architect. How the hell you get all this credit for Washington, D.C. when they had presidents and all kind of shit went on in Washington, D.C. besides this goddamn person who made the city of Washington? And then found out that he didn't have slaves, but he leased slaves from the masters. That means he paid people, yeah, I need some N-words to go over here and do some work over here, can't get the white people to do it. So he leased from this, so he'll say, I never owned slaves, I just leased them. But the cars nowadays, you want to lease it or do you want to buy it? Well, I don't want to buy it, I'll just lease it. It would look better, you know. And then he could say, well, I didn't own slaves, those were his slaves. I didn't check the IDs, I just asked for some workers. You know, that kind of shit goes today, same way back then, because back then nobody didn't give a damn. But you know, Nancy Pelosi put a statue in the rotunda of this bastard, and they talk all that wokeism bullshit and stay woke and get everybody out the White House and get rid of all these statues. She put a statue in there when the guy leased slaves from their masters. That means the slaves didn't get paid, you know. And then I even gave the article link from the archive, and it says slaves built the White House. So I'm sure some white people are thinking, I don't know if I want to tweet that or look at that or whatever, but only 32 people looked at it. 32 people, that means, because they know it's true. They put a slave leaser in the rotunda of the Capitol. No big deal. They ain't talked about it. You know, I tweeted right to her, at Nancy Pelosi, and told her what happened. And here's the article from the archives.gov. The government archives said that bastard leased slaves. And you put him in a rotunda, put a statue of him, because he was such an American patriot and he did all this stuff. He wasn't even from here. He was a foreigner. And he got the contract, and he built Washington with slaves. And he gets a statue. During Black History Month, nobody blacks at a damn thing. That's why you can't give a damn. That's why I don't care about shit. Sometimes I don't even talk about the stuff I'm going to talk about on the radio or the Twitter or whatever. Because that's why you'd be like, man, nobody gives a shit. You just be talking, and nobody cares. Get a clip. Oh, I got to be a clip. I got to quit. None of it means shit. Life is about enjoyment. If you can enjoy your life, then you are the chosen few, because life is hard as hell to enjoy. There's so many variables to enjoyment. So you can't get 100%, but if you get 50% enjoyment, that's pretty good. If you're happy 50% of the day, that means 12 hours you're not, 12 hours you are, then you're doing pretty good. That's all you can do is try to get as many good times as possible. The rest of it don't mean shit, because that just comes. Negative stuff just comes. Aches and pains, like aches and pains. You're going to have good days and bad days, but you got to make the good days good. When they good, you got to enjoy that bastard. And when you have bad days, you got to try to see what you can get out of it, because I don't be getting shit out of mine. See you next week. Hey, Julie, see you next week.
Here they come, the legals, they're coming.
That was wrong, what happened to Jamil Shaw? How many Americans must fall? You better stand up and heed the call. before the same thing happens to one of y'all. That was wrong, what happened to Jamil Shaw? How many Americans must fall? You better stand up and heed the call before the same thing happens to one of y'all. My neighborhood is changing, not for the best.
Not for the best.
People looking different, not like the rest.
Not like the rest.
I'm in peace, that's what they say.
What they say.
But don't get in their motherfucking way. They're taking LA back, starting with the black.
Starting with the black.
In California, so get back, Jack.
Get back, Jack.
One by one, our men are missing. What's wrong with them? What are they dissing? American citizens, why won't you listen? Black people, are you paying attention?
You're paying attention.
With being replaced. Can't you see?
Can't you see?
People around here don't look.